This is The Takeaway. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. You're listening to the rumbling sound of the Trans-Asia Express. It takes about 3 days to get from Tehran to Istanbul. And John Line joins us now, BBC Tehran correspondent, who's been reporting on the refugee situation in Turkey as people leaving the turmoil in Iran go to Turkey and find that they're certainly still under the thumb of Iranian authorities. So, John Line, first of all, good morning.
Yes, hello to you.
What are the voices that you've been talking to about the situation? Who are the people who are coming across the border, and how vulnerable are they when they get to Turkey?
It's not a mass exodus, but there are a lot of people leaving who are people who've been involved in the political process there, opposition activists, journalists, and sometimes people who just got caught up. For example, I met in one of the towns where people waiting for political asylum are kept in Turkey. I met one woman whose family owned a shop on one of the main streets in Tehran, Valiasa, and they'd taken some protesters in during a demonstration. They just kind of let them in when the security force was chasing after them. Unfortunately, they had an uncle who was in the intelligence service, and as a result, they'd been shopped to the authorities and they'd had to flee the country. I met other people. I met a young woman, Mariam, who said that she'd been arrested memorial for, if you remember, Neda Agasultan,
sure,
the woman who was shot dead.
The woman who was shot and you saw the blood coming out of her on television, right? Live television.
That's right. And the 40th anniversary of her death, there was a big ceremony at her graveside. And then, of course, the security forces swept in on that. And this young woman said she ran with everybody, but unfortunately she tripped over a tombstone and she got caught. She got taken to one of the prisons. She doesn't know where the prison was. She told me how she described how she went down endless flights of steps. So obviously it was some great subterranean dungeon, interrogated for several days. And then eventually she said she was raped by her interrogator, just a young 21-year-old woman, raped by her interrogator repeatedly, and told that that was their kind of revenge for her efforts to get her vote back, as the demonstrations have been calling for.
Now, we've heard numerous reports of people either in these demonstrations or after these demonstrations having all kinds of brutal treatment at the hands of Iranian authorities. How does this woman, Mariam Sabri, that you just described her story, how did she get into Turkey from Tehran?
Well, she was released by the authorities after she'd been held in prison, but they threatened her not to speak to anybody under threat of death. And they wanted her to work for them, actually, but she refused to do that. She managed to get on a bus, and she said she managed to sneak out of the country when the guy checking passports at the border was half asleep in the middle of the night. But she's still afraid the authorities are after her in Turkey. She thinks people are following her in Turkey, and she says her family's been taken and threatened and even beaten about a bit, still in Iran itself.
And indeed, that sense of paranoia comes through really loud and clear in this voice of someone who didn't even want to use his name when you spoke with him. Listen to this, John.
They have a list, you know. The police has a list of every activist in elections with address, telephone, cell phone. Some of them live hidden, for example, like me.
John Line, is Turkey supporting these refugees? Quickly, before we go.
Turkey is not quite a safe haven. The people there, the Iranians there, believe that they're being possibly chased down even within Turkey. I think Turkey's caught in the middle there, allowing these people to stay while they apply for political asylum.
John Line, BBC Tehran correspondent. Thanks for that.